KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, 80 degrees. We look for a chance for isolated showers and thunderstorms this morning. Mostly sunny this afternoon, a high around 96 with the heat index as high as 108 degrees. Don't forget that excessive heat warning continues through 7 p.m. on Saturday for all of the listening area. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening approved the closure of certain city streets along with parking restrictions. That'll be in effect from 6 a.m. Sunday, July 21st through 2 a.m. Monday, July 22nd. For the upcoming RAGBRAI event that will bring thousands of bicyclists and their support vehicles into town. We've already mentioned the streets that will be affected earlier this week online and on the air. The list can be found under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com in case you missed it. Atlantic Police Chief Dave Erickson said additional temporary street closings or parking restrictions would be implemented on an as-needed basis. The council also approved an engineering agreement with Snyder & Associates for the Atlantic Animal Shelter building addition. Funds for the addition, which will allow cats to be held in separate quarters from dogs, was made possible through the gift of $135,000 from the estate of Miss Lorraine Eppelsheimer, who specifically requested the new addition be built in accordance with her wishes. The addition will be 18 by 36 feet, or some 648 square feet in all. Estimates are that the engineering and project management costs will run over $120,000. The balance of any funds will be used for additional cat cages and comforts for the cats. In other business, following a public hearing, the council passed a resolution that allows the final property process to proceed with regard to 411 Walnut Street, that's the Atlantic Senior Center. During their meeting on June the 5th, the council accepted a bid of $55,445 from the Elks Club for the purchase of the facility. In his report to the council, Mayor Dave Jones said there were four separate grass clipping notices that were issued to residents who allowed their clippings to be tossed onto city streets by mowers. Code enforcement officer Chris Erickson said the notices went out to four new offenders. If those persons or others repeat their actions, they will receive a citation. During the public and city council forum, the open forum, Atlantic Police Chief Dave Erickson said there were about 40 complaints with regard to fireworks from June 15th through Monday of this week. There was no indication any citations were issued, though. Councilman Dana Halder commented that the Messina City Council is looking into having a splash pad built near their ball fields and that Atlantic should have one.
We have playground equipment all over this town. And we have people asking and begging for
a
splash pad. And we can draw people from other towns that are going to buy gas when they get here. And a lot of them will. And then when they get ready to leave, one of the comments is going to be, I'm hungry.
Halter also said we need to refocus on some things here with regard to the Parks and Rec Department, and let's get doing some things for people that are asking for. Councilman Chris Jimerson agreed. Mayor Dave Jones says the Park and Rec is working on it, but it will probably take a bond issue to approve it. Jimerson said his fear is that they will probably try to attach a new pool to any plans. City Administrator John Lund said he will talk with Interim Parks Director Brian Rasmussen about bringing the matter up to the Parks Board again. It had been brought up in previous discussions this year, but the Parks Board wanted to focus on other areas. And Councilman Chris Jimerson addressed concerns by some Atlantic residents that the tornado sirens didn't go off here Tuesday afternoon.
The National Weather Service has gone to a polygon the last few years, so they just don't warn the county willy-nilly anymore. They figure out where it's going, where it's at, where it's going, and they designate a polygon for it, so it wasn't threatening the town. So well, the theory behind it is if you continually warn somebody, yeah, go to the basement, and pretty soon people just will ignore it.
Well, dangerous heat conditions will prevail today and tomorrow across the state. The National Weather Service has high heat with temperatures peaking in the 90s, and humidity will combine to create heat indices, or how it feels, of 100 to 110 degrees each day, with overnight temperatures not offering much relief, with lows in the 70s to near 80. Relief from the heat will begin to arrive late on Saturday over northern Iowa, but it'll persist over southern Iowa for that one more day. A cold front will pass through the state later Saturday, with temperatures back into the 80s by Sunday. An excessive heat warning continues through 7 p.m. Saturday for the entire state of Iowa, with the exception of a majority of the northern two tiers of counties, where a heat advisory is in effect from 1 p.m. today to 7 p.m. on Saturday. The excessive heat warning means that a prolonged period of dangerously hot temperatures will occur. The combination of those hot temperatures and high humidity will combine to create a dangerous situation in which heat illnesses are likely. So again, we remind you to be sure to bring plenty of fluids, preferably water, stay in an air-conditioned home, stay out of the sun, and check up on your relatives, neighbors, and of course, pets. A Unless you happen to be outside looking south, had a scanner or phone emergency alert app, you probably wouldn't know that the funnel clouds and tornadoes were seen in southern Cass County Tuesday afternoon. That's because the National Weather Service weather radio transmitter located near Hancock in Pottawatomie County has been down due to ice and snow that occurred in December of 2018. The transmitter, KZZ52, serves all of Pottawatomie, parts of Cass, Montgomery, Audubon, Harrison, and Shelby counties. The Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator, Mike Kennan, said he first became aware of the severe weather phenomenon when the phone calls started coming in Tuesday.
Well, about 2:30, we got multiple calls from people reporting a funnel cloud in 71 Oxford area. Now, I went and got on Highway 71. Even from just south of Atlantic, you could clearly see a funnel cloud.
And the funnel didn't appear to be rotating much at first, he said, but all that changed as Cannon got closer.
From the distance I was at, you couldn't really see the rotation, but as you got closer, it fingered down closer to the ground. It may have reached the ground, but as soon as it got near the ground, it dissipated and went farther back up, and it finally just roped out by the time I got down there. But that was a good 10 minutes of me watching.
A tornado was visible from as far away as Interstate 80, Atlantic, Marnie, and elsewhere in Cass County. There were reports of another funnel cloud or twister, but Kennan said it's likely it was the same event visible from many different locations. There were no reports of damage or injuries, but Kennan said if anyone has any damage, to call him at 712-254-1500. Now, there was no warning from the National Weather Service until about 20 minutes after the funnel cloud was first reported. Kennan said he's received calls about why the warning didn't go out sooner and why the weather radio alert didn't work. The issue boils down to the weather transmitter being offline. McKinnon said he's complained to numerous entities about it.
We are very much dependent on that Hancock tower. And quite frankly, weather radio has been worthless to us since that December incident.
And Paul Feynman, a meteorologist at the National Weather Service office in Valley, Nebraska, told KJAN they're still on track to hopefully get that transmitter up and running sometime next month.
I don't know if that has changed. It's been a while since we've actually discussed it in here. I think mid-August is still the timeline there.
Getting the transmitter operational involves gathering the parts and personnel.
They're waiting for a part to come in, and then they need to hire a tower crew to test the integrity of the tower and then to be able to go up to it and install the replacement equipment.
Before all that can happen, though, Fabian said that they need approval from their headquarters.
We're waiting for the Central Region headquarters that are located in Kansas City. They kind of make facility and equipment decisions like this, and we're waiting for them to get clarification on and analysis on the tower there. And we're hoping to be able to get that back this week. And if that, tests well, then we'll get to go ahead to set up the antenna, and we're hoping to go operational next month.
In the meantime, to be notified via cell or landline telephone, you can sign up for Alert Iowa, which is available on most county emergency management websites, including Cass County's website. You can select how you want to receive your alert, either cell phone, landline, or both, for what cities in your county you wish to be notified for, and what types of alerts you want to receive. Also in the news, the Creston Police Department says a man living in the 1000 block of North Poplar Street in Creston reported on Wednesday that sometime between 8 p.m. Tuesday and 7 a.m. Wednesday, someone took his wallet containing cash and credit cards. The wallet was taken from his vehicle parked outside the man's home. The loss was estimated at $40. And 72-year-old Hyvis Orland Thatcher of Creston was cited Wednesday in Creston for allowing an animal to run at large in the 500 block of West Montgomery Street. Thatcher was released on a promise to appear in court. Red Oak police say a woman was arrested on an assault charge at around 11:35 p.m. Wednesday. 39-year-old Rose Amber Eppenbaugh of Red Oak was taken into custody on a charge of domestic assault. She was being held in the Montgomery County Jail without bond, pending a court appearance. Police in Red Oak arrested a man Wednesday afternoon for simple domestic abuse assault and obstruction of emergency communications. Officers were called at around 12:20 p.m. to the residence in the 100 block of East Prospect Street. They arrested 33-year-old Salvador Ramos Zuno of Red Oak following an investigation. He was being held in Montgomery County Jail without bond, pending an appearance before the magistrate. Red Oak police were assisted during the handling of the incident by deputies of the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.